In today's modern, hyper-connective world, are we after becoming too reliant on technology? Well, I think we are. Do any of us count on our natural intuition or even go with our gut feeling anymore? If you don't know what that is, Google it. Well, former military sniper and survival instructor David King thinks so. And wants to help us to reconnect with nature and ourselves. And he's on the line. Funny enough, David, how's it going?
Good morning, Jen. How are you?
We finally get to chat.
Yes.
I'm delighted to have you on the show. And thanks so much for doing this. Okay, let's get to it. David, can you explain to me what is a wolf walk?
Okay. So a wolf walk really is, it's an opportunity to jump off that speed train of life that you just mentioned there. And it's an opportunity for us to challenge our current situation, our mindset. And what I do is I provide, it's a thought-provoking guided mindful walk in forests, mountains and lakes around this country. And it's in good company. We embrace personal self-discovery and we also focus on what I call life leadership skills. And this includes like an opportunity to reconnect with your inner spirit, which is your gut and intuition, like you just mentioned. We can test our mind and our body. And we can also embrace, if we have a beginner's mind, we can embrace things like breathwork, meditation, and then something I call positive risk and critical thinking. So that's it in a nutshell, really.
Okay. But practically speaking, what does all that mean? Like, what do you do? Okay. So I said, I'm going to go on a wolf walk with you, right? I have my backpack. Am I allowed to take stuff? Am I allowed to take water? Am I allowed to take my Fulfill bar? Like, tell me what's happening.
You are.
Step by step, what's happening?
Okay, step by step. So when you sign up for a wolf walk, you get what I call an operational order. And in that, you'll have your safety aspects, what to bring on the day, what to expect from the day. Now, although I make out a plan, as in I come up with a plan as to what I want from the day, my intention, what I do is when the group arrives, I read the energy from the group because everyone brings different energy and we have what I call a group dynamic. And then the day will flow as we see fit. Mm-hmm. So it changes as we go along. So we have the nuts and bolts of it. But I'll give you an example. When we get there, we have a chat. We go through safety brief and then we do what I call a walk and talk, where we walk and have a chat and get to know each other. So it's fun as well. It's not just like it's not a military survivor camp. And we'll hit the mountains or the trails and we do what I call like a river meditation, where we take some time, we just take some time for ourselves to embrace our own thoughts, to go into that, what I call a dark place of our own mindset and our own internal conversation. From there, we might do like a hill walk where we go on what I call the walk of life. And we'll have various different mindset challenges throughout the whole day. We'll do some meditation in a forest. We might do a lake dip or river dip, depending on the weather and the group itself. We will definitely challenge ourselves in a physical way as we do the walk, but it's more so for that mindset way where I will hit you with questions. We'll have various different tasks along the way and we spend a lot of time in silence where we're going to reflect on where we are in our life map, on our life GPS. And a lot of people arrive on these things with a smile on their face. As we all do leaving for work, we close the door behind us, smile on the face. We put on that Batman cape and go to work. But we don't share or allow people to see the internal baggage we have on that stress shelf where we're carrying past traumas, we're carrying, like say, for example, we might have a poor self-perception of ourselves. So it's an opportunity really to embrace that on the day and to go deep into your mindset and to see where you are. And if you need to make some changes, it's like an emotional journey of self-discovery and we challenge our current situation and mindset. And if we need to make changes, then we go away with 1,000 questions.
Now, you've said it a couple of times. You've said challenge, okay? You've said that word a few times. Do you think it's important for people to physically challenge themselves, or is that just your kind of military background creeping in?
I think it's important for us to challenge ourselves on a regular basis with some sort of movement, some sort of activity, fitness activity as well. When we're walking, when we're moving around in nature, we become part of the ecosystem. So we get immersed in it if we are open to it. A lot of us nowadays, especially since the pandemic, we kind of go on these walks and we get to the top of the hill, take a selfie, we head back home and we tick the box, we breathe when we get home and we say that's done.
Yeah.
Whereas if we challenge ourselves and we go on this walk and we notice ourselves, we notice our heartbeat, we notice when we walk up the hill how our breath changes, how our body feels, how we physically feel. So it's going to make us feel alive inside. But
it sounds like, sorry to butt in, Dave, it sounds like, in a nutshell, you are teaching people to be present.
Definitely. That's the exact word that we use. So mindfulness is being present.
Yeah.
And that's what we push for. And I think a lot of us don't take risks anymore, and we become risk adverse nowadays. And risk is really another word for life. Without taking risk, we're not going to have any idea what life is all about. So if we go and challenge ourselves in that way, and we go and take some time to physically challenge ourselves and mentally challenge ourselves, we're going to have a better behavior as you go forward, a better emotional response to our choices, have some critical thinking, which is going to improve the quality of our thought process. We're more self-disciplined, self-monitored, and we can have what I call self-corrective thinking. So when we respond to something that happens in our life, we respond emotionally, but it's really a reaction. But when we breathe and look at it from a different perspective, we can respond in a better manner and we can make better choices.
Isn't it interesting that you have to teach people how to walk? You know what I mean? But Etna, producer Etna wants to know, can she bring her phone on one of these walks? I'm just shaking my head at her, going, maybe for the photo at the group photo at the end, but I would say no. Would you ban phones?
What we do is we put the phones in silence. Like everybody comes with an intention. So we all come on these walks with an intention. We all have our own background and we want to get something from it. So we try and put the phones away, keep them away. We do stop for photo opportunities, viewing points. And they're at the stages in our life. I see each walk as a life journey. So we go back to the beginning of our life. We question where they've come from, the traumas you've experienced, what baggage you brought with you. We do various different aspects like that. And then we do stop and we have chats. It's not all, as I said, military. It's fun. It's sharing. It's amazing how many people share stuff when they're in a group dynamic. And I always say that the right people show up. We might have 15 will apply to come, 10 will show up, and those 10 people are meant to be there. And I find they share quite a lot. It's very emotional. Some people can be in tears. I've been in tears on every walk I've been on because I've listened to the stories people have told. But by the end of the walk, it's like as if you've completed something and you have like a little community and you've shared and you've let go of something, which is fantastic, but also taking ownership of your life.
Who had you in mind when you came up with this? What age group? What kind of people, particularly men or younger kids? Who were you thinking of?
I kind of initially was thinking men. Despite my successful military career and my background and what people would see me as being happy-go-lucky or confident, I struggled quite a lot since I lost my father when I was 11 and I had a lot of self-blame around his death. I felt he worked too hard and I felt that it was my fault that he was working hard to provide for us. So I went through a long period of my life where I struggled with that internal battle, the two wolves up there, and my poor self-talk. So much so that I suffered a lot from what I believe was depression, suicidal tendencies, that kind of stuff. And I hid it off from everybody. But I had the ability throughout my life to dig myself out of that hole. And I feel there's a lot of people out there, men especially, I do believe, that are closed off to walking and talking and sharing. And we'd rather meet for a pint and a match instead of going and having a chat. Whereas I think the ladies are much more open to meeting for a coffee and sharing where they are in their life and getting support. So it was kind of geared up towards men because I wanted to share my experience and to show them that you can come out the other side. But I found over the couple of years that I've been doing this that it's a lot of ladies are in similar situations. And I find that it's open to everybody from the age of 16 up. And we've had individuals as old as 75 on the walk and they absolutely love it and they embrace the day. As I said, everyone gets something out of it, whether it's that connection with nature, whether it's taking time to breathe, or whether it's just having that community and having that nice energy around them.
Do you get people coming back time and time again, or is this like a once-off thing people tend to do?
Yeah, it's funny, that's a good point there. We have like a wolf tribe where people do come back. And what I always say to people on the walk is, I don't want you going away with the answer to life or to the answer to the issue that you're struggling with. What I want you to go away with is a thousand questions, so that each day, each week, that something will pop up and say, oh, that's what I learned from the wolf walk. That's what I discovered. And you can question yourself as you go along. But I find that I get a lot of people come back. And despite us doing similar activities, even though it changes, they still get something from it. And it's always the weeks after I get messages or emails or phone calls saying, wow, I didn't get it on the day, but this is really what's had to change in my life. I've had people change their career. I've had people change relationships and walked away from abusive relationships and made big changes in their life. So it's great to see that. And that's what I get from it, is the positive impact that people go away with.
Do you think it's easier for people to talk to strangers about their problems?
Definitely. Definitely. I find when I have people that bring friends, they seem to stick together. Mm. We do that for support. A lot of people come on their own and they share. Some people share quite quickly, but as we go through it and people get more invested in their thought process, they tend to share what they went through in a lot of traumas that come up from their past, where we can be fixated on and we can be stuck in. I know for myself personally, I was stuck on that day that my father passed away. I didn't let go of that because I didn't deal with it. And it was only when I started looking and having that self-reflection that I changed my mindset and improved my mindset.
Why is it called a wolf walk? And what is the wolf mindset? Tell me.
Yeah, okay. So I've always been fascinated by wolves, and it's down to the character traits that they have. And I think as humans, I know you mentioned there about intuition and gut. I really believe we're losing that, and we can learn a lot from the wolf, the way they have a community, the way they move constantly, they go through. I see it as a journey of life again. So they go through all the different seasons and they survive. That's like us with life. We have ups and downs constantly and we still survive. They look after their young, they look after their old, they move in a pack, they have community. They're tenacious, they can be aggressive, but they can also be loving and caring. And what's great about it is we have all those traits inside, but we forget about them. We've become so fixated on this, getting to a destination on that train to get there as fast as we can. And we generally forget ourselves. We don't look after ourselves. And when we don't look after ourselves, it's nearly impossible for us to look after our circle, our family, our friends. And we get lost up on our own little mindset. It's like we always hear this in podcasts and books that if a plane is in trouble and the oxygen mask comes down, you should put your own on first, like you have other people. And we don't do that. And I think a wolf for me embodies all the characteristics that we have as humans, and we can really learn from them to go back into that. Like, they're dynamic, they're powerful, but they're graceful and they're loyal. They can be fierce and they're challenged, but we need to kind of tap into that and have good core values and face adversity with that fortitude and resilience, and to be able to adapt to life's changes, to be able to adapt and respond in a better way when we have death, illness, anxiety, depression, suicide, and make better choices in our life.
Do you feel people in general put their mental health on the long finger? You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening going, oh, I don't have time for that. You know, yeah. I have kids, or I'm in a relationship, I have work. And
yeah.
And that can be a huge problem as well, isn't it? That we don't prioritize stuff like this.
It is definitely. And, you know, we can wait until it's too late. I've been lucky enough that I had various points in my life where I said, I need to change something here. I need to not fix myself, because none of us are broken. We're just kind of on a different path. We're lost in that life GPS, that map that I used. But we avoid it. It's called avoidance. And if we have what's called positive acceptance, where we accept that we have a poor mindset, we have poor self-talk, and we need to improve it, and we need to look after ourselves before it's too late, because like this is a famous thing that we always say at the very end of our life, or when we find out we only have so long to live, or we realize, wow, I'm in my 70s or my 60s, or I have an illness, that we have a bucket list. And the bucket list normally is like to jump out of a plane, to go to Sydney, to go somewhere. Whereas time is what it's all about. And when we realize that time is, it's the golden ticket, it's what we have. If we spend more time with ourselves, looking after ourselves, then we can give more time to people. But we, again, it's avoidance, because we're terrified. We're terrified
to deal with it.
That we have. Yeah. And the hardship that it can entail to try and dig yourself out of that hole, to try and get help, to make the phone call. They're the hardest things in the world, is to reach out to someone and say, I have a problem or an issue. It's like a weakness. And especially, I think, for men, it's when we reach out to a friend and say, I need your help. We don't do that. We stick the chest out and we say, no, everything's okay. I'm fine. And women do it as well in the household. They can take on so much stress, so much work. And to our kids, to our friends, we show up a cost of coffee with the girls, with a smile on the face, the makeup on, the lads with the jackets, and we say, everything's fine in my life. We're grand.
How you doing? I'm grand. It's one of our most famous things that we say. Yeah. Can I talk about you for a second? Because I find your past fascinating. Was joining the military something you always wanted to do?
It was. From a very young age, I've had a fascination with the military. Down to my father served in the Air Corps up until he died in 1985, unfortunately. But yeah, he served there and I was fascinated. And he was obviously, as a young boy, he was a role model and somebody I wanted to be like. And joining the army was the only thing for me. And I turned down college. I turned down job opportunities to wait to get into the military. And it's something that I'm glad I did. It's been 21 years, fantastic to serve a country and wear a uniform. And it really shaped me as a person that I am today.
Do you think your time in the military prepared you for wolf walks?
It did, definitely, because I call it my, the forests and the rivers, etc., I call it my happy place. It's where I want to be, and it's where I come alive. And that's down to my experience in the military as well. But I think what I bring from the military to the wolf walks, again, without turning people off, thinking it's going to be like a survival camp, it's not. What I bring really is control, it's command, it's when people come to a wolf walk, I have a presence about me, and I'm proud to say that I have a presence about me that shows you'll be protected, you'll be looked after, and I'm confident. I have good communication, good leadership qualities. Obviously, with sniper and survival, I can navigate, medical support, risk management, the planning, execution, it's all there. I link all these in with my other qualifications, which would be mindfulness, meditation, breath work. I do controlled remote viewing, neuro-linguistic programming, and it's all through the mindset. So, but my main thing that I bring that I always say to people is, it's not the search in the wall, it's not the courses I've done, it's my life skills, it's what I've learned throughout my life, down to my own anxiety, depression, suicidal tendencies, and then my own resilience and how I overcame that. And that's what I want to do with this, is to give people an opportunity to have that positive acceptance and say, I need help, I need to help myself, or I need to step up and get help.
Neil just texted in saying, I like the idea of getting away from it all. I really love this idea, but I hate meditation. It just doesn't work for me, this texter says. Can I get something without having to meditate, or can I go on this walk without having to meditate?
Yeah, of course.
Everything on the walk, Neil, just pretend. Yeah. Man, just close your eyes and pretend.
But you know, everything on the walk is optional. But I find a lot of people come on the walk and they've never meditated before. And it's only when they sit inside. For me, meditation is, you can do it on a train, you can do it anywhere. It's sitting and being comfortable in your own thoughts. And that's what meditation is all about. It's getting off the phone, putting the book away, putting the music away, and just sitting and listening to the thoughts that come into your mind. And we avoid that because a lot of the time it can be poor. It can be, I'm not a good dad, I'm not a good father, I didn't do this, I don't have enough money. And all these thoughts come in and we avoid them. So we go to the iPad, we go to the phone, and we try and keep away from that noise that's in there. And we don't face it, we're never going to succeed in that aspect of life.
It sounds amazing. You're an absolute superstar. Thank you so much, David, for coming on the show today. And I really, really hope to speak to you again soon. There we go, lads. That was David King, former military sniper and survival instructor, who started Wolf Walks Ireland to help people reconnect with nature and themselves. And if you would like more information, go and check out davidking.ie. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.